Yo también te digo que tú eres Pedro, Y sobre esta norma edificaremos mi iglesia y las puertas de la luz no prevalecerán contra ella.
Verse 21.
Ahora, versículo 21.
From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day.
Desde entonces comenzó Jesús a declarar a sus discípulos que él debía ir a Jerusalén y padecer mucho de parte de los ancianos, de los principales sacerdotes y de los escribas, y ser muerto y resucitar el tercer día.
Verse 24.
Ahora, versículo 24.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Entonces Jesús dijo a sus discípulos, si alguno quiere venir en pos de mí, niegue a sí mismo, tome su cruz y siga.
Verse 28.
Ahora, versículo 28.
Surely I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
De cierto digo, que hay algunos de los que están aquí que no gustarán la muerte hasta que hayan visto venir en su reino al Hijo de Dios.
Now these are the verses for a moment.
Así que eso van a ser los versículos por el momento.
However, I would like you to point your fingers always at this chapter.
No obstante, siempre voy a pedir que tengan su dedo puesto en este capítulo.
We would like to come back to this chapter again and again and again.
Nos gustaría volver a este capítulo una y otra vez.
As you know very well,
como usted sabe muy bien,
the Gospel of Matthew,
el Evangelio de Mateo,
is the book that we will find the teachings of Christ. Three out of five of this gospel.
Sixty percent
of this book are the direct word of Christ.
La palabra directa de Cristo.
In other words, if you print the word of Christ in red color,
en otras palabras, si usted imprime la palabra de Cristo en color rojo,
so then you will find 60% of Gospel according to Matthew are in red color.
Entonces, ahí van a encontrar el 60% del Evangelio de Mateo con rojo.
So, among these four gospels, if we want to know the word of Christ,
si queremos conocer la palabra de Cristo,
definitely we have to turn to the Gospel according to Matthew.
Ahí deberíamos irnos al Evangelio de Mateo.
Because only through the word, direct word of Christ,
porque solamente mediante la directa palabra de Cristo,
we are receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Es que recibimos la revelación de Cristo Jesús.
Now Paul received the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Ahora Pablo recibió esta revelación de
Jesús. But he never separated his revelation of Jesus Christ and the word of Christ.
Pero nunca separó la revelación de Cristo Jesús de la palabra de Cristo Jesús.
And among 24 chapters of 28 chapters of Gospel of Matthew,
por lo tanto, entre los 28 capítulos del Evangelio de Mateo,
they discover when we come to chapter 16.
Entonces encontramos que cuando llegamos al capítulo 16,
now here we find this is one of the most important chapters in this gospel.
Entonces encontramos que es uno de los capítulos más importantes en este evangelio.
Because just in single chapters,
porque solo en algunos capítulos,
we are able to receive the full revelation of Christ.
Es decir, en un solo capítulo podemos recibir la completa revelación de Cristo.
Or in another word,
or en otras palabras,
in this chapter,
en estos capítulos,
we are going to encounter four major truths in the whole Bible.
Vamos a encontrar cuatro verdades principales en toda la Biblia.
Or four major revelations of Jesus Christ in the whole Bible.
O cuatro revelaciones principales en toda la Biblia.
But before our Lord tried to reveal that secret to his disciples,
Pero antes de que el Señor quiera revelar este secreto,
before our Lord is going to reveal His truth,
antes de que el Señor va a revelar su verdad,
and then we discover how our Lord led His people to a place.
Antes de eso encontramos cómo el Señor guía a su gente a un lugar.
That's why the Bible said Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi.
Por eso vemos que dice que allá Jesús a la región de Caesarea Philippi.
Now only in that area,
únicamente en esta localidad,
our Lord was going to pour out His heart to His disciples.
Solo en ese lugar el Señor iba a derramar su corazón a sus discípulos.
Not only the place ought to be right. Not only the place to be right.
No solamente el lugar debería ser el apropiado.
Now even the timing of God's of the Jesus Christ revelation should be right.
También el tiempo preciso de la revelación de Jesucristo debía ser preciso.
Now by this time,
ahora, en este tiempo,
the disciple had been with the Lord roughly 3 years.
Los discípulos habían estado con el Señor alrededor de 3 años.
Now they are coming to the very end of their following of the Lord.
Están realmente llegando al final de su compañía con el Señor.
Probably 6 months later.
Y probablemente 6 meses más tarde.
Our Lord Jesus will be on the cross.
Nuestro Señor Jesús estaría en la cruz.
So this is the time for the very end of the path of the following of the disciples. Now, for more than 3 years, while these disciples were with the Lord, they share everything with their master. It is a wonderful time that they may dwell together. And for those 3 years, those most precious 3 years, these disciples, they learned many things at the feet of Christ. And when they are hungry, and you discovered our Lord will feed them. When they went through sorrow, our Lord actually comforted them. So it must be a wonderful moment to be following the Lord. And I think those disciples, when they look back, they will treasure those wonderful times together. However, deep down in the heart of our Lord Jesus, He had a secret. He has something that He would like to reveal to His disciples. He was waiting for this disciple to mature. He was waiting for this disciple to grow up in Christ. He knew it very well. When they were very young, they are very self-centered. Because their master ought to supply all their needs every day. Isn't that true for us, everyone? Isn't that true for every one of us? Isn't that true for every one of us? When we first follow our Lord, we are the center of the universe. Even we know that Christ is our Savior. When we come to Him, what do we expect? We expect blessing from heaven. So when we follow Him, we know that He will take care of us. When we are hungry, He's a wonderful feeder. When we are in need, we discover He will grant us grace upon grace. So, brothers and sisters, when we are young in Christ, now, we are always centered upon ourselves. This whole world is for me. Even the salvation is for me. Jesus died on the cross for me.
Jesús murió en la cruz para mí.
And we are sinners.
Y que somos pecadores.
It is our Lord Jesus took away our sins.
Y soy Señor
Jesús que llevó nuestro pecado. Before we are saved,
antes de que seamos salvos,
we are the sinners.
Nosotros somos descendientes.
Even after we are saved,
pero incluso después de que ya somos salvos,
we are still the sinners.
Todavía somos descendientes.
Why?
¿Por qué?
Because we are babies in Christ.
Porque somos bebés en Cristo.
Now you look at the babies. They are most beautiful. But again, they are most sensitive. Now, during the midnight, when they are hungry, they just cry. Now, their mother has to rise up and feed him. Even the father has to go to office tomorrow. Sometimes the father has to wake up. When the baby has a need, the father and the mother ought to be in a hurry. Not only they have to supply the need, they have to supply the need in a hurry. Now, the same thing with we Christians. When we were as a baby of Christ, and you discover we experience grace upon grace, blessings upon blessings. It is wonderful. This is the stage every one of us has to go through. So that's the beginning when they follow our Lord Jesus. But brothers and sisters, there's something in the heart of our Lord that belongs to the will of God. Now, something our Lord wants to reveal it to His disciples. But when they were self-centered, they are not ready for this word. They can only drink the milk. But they cannot joy, they cannot enjoy the solid food. So that's why every day our Lord serves them. Serve their needs. So you see, brothers, because our Lord was the greatest among the disciples. He was the greatest among them. He was their master. And that's why He served them. In a very humble way. For one purpose, one day, they will grow. Just like the mother. You know, when they deal with the dirt, when they deal with the pollutions of the baby. Now they hope that one day they will grow. The baby will grow. So for 3 years, now our Lord Jesus served His disciples. Now you know how slow were these disciples. Sometimes I always think that. Now why not our Lord try to gather another group of people? And our Lord deserves to have the best people in the world. So sometimes we try to make a choice for our Lord. Not Peter, nor angel, nor angel. Nor James.
Ni tampoco Santiago.
Because we think they are too slow.
When you study the four Gospels, sometimes we understand. But this disciple, they don't understand. So sometimes we think the Lord somehow should get another class of Christians to follow him. So in our minds, one of the 12 disciples should be Billy Graham. And another one should be D.L. Moody.
Y otro podría ser
D.L. Moody.
D.L. Moody.
Or John Wesley. Or John Wesley.
Or John Wesley.
Or Watchman Nee.
Or Watchman Nee.
Or Austin Spark.
Or Austin Spark.
Now, if the Lord could get this class of people, then what kind of work of Christ must be?
Oh,
our brothers and sisters. And God's way is always higher than our way. Now, by His grace, He has called Peter, Andrew, John, James, Matthew, and also Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot. So you see, when you study your Bible, as for these disciples, they were very, very slow. But our Lord was still very patient with them. But don't forget, deep down in the heart of our Lord, now He expects one day. He's going to open His heart. That the disciples should know the eternal will of God. So, for many years, he always brought his secret with him. In many occasions, while he was about to share his secret, they discover his disciples are not ready yet. But now, brothers, there are only 6 months left while our Lord was still on earth. Now he's about to take the way of the cross. And eventually he will die for us on the cross. But before that, he would like to open his heart, to disclose his secret that always carried him with him from the foundation of the world. So in the beginning, he was calling these 12 disciples to be with him, to be with his followers. But the main purpose of his calling is one day these disciples was able to share his secret. Their eyes will be opened. They are able to know the will of God. So, brothers and sisters, for that moment, our Lord has been waiting for us. And for that moment, our Lord prepared a very important place. And that place is called the district of Caesarea Philippi. Now, where is Caesarea Philippi? Now, if you know geography of the Bible land, now you know that in the northern part of Israel, there is a high mountain called Mount Hermon. Now, this Mount Hermon, everyone can see that mountain from everywhere of the land of Canaan. Now, in the Bible, it always refers to when Bible talks about Mount Hermon, it always refers to the ascension. It always talks about ascended life. The life in the highest plane. the life in the highest plane. Always describe it as heavenly places. And then this district of Caesarea Philippi. Now actually it is in the mountain foot of Mount
Hermon.
Now in that area,
área,
it was a beautiful area.
En una área preciosa.
And you are supposed to find many, deer. You are supposed to find many deer. Now let us turn to, Psalm 42. As a deer pants for the water, Bruce, so my soul pants for thee, O God.
Como el ciervo busca cardiante la corriente de las aguas, así te anhela a ti, oh Dios, el alma mía.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?
Mi alma tiene sed de Dios vivo. ¿Cuándo vendré y me presentaré delante de Dios?
Now remember, this psalm was written in the area of Caesarea
Philippi.
So you discover there are many deer
there.
They are thirsty for the water. They long to have a living water. Now, where can they have that water? So, with that background, now you can imagine how the Caesarea Philippi looked like. And more than that, and this area is very close to Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee. Now, actually, they are north of Sea of Galilee. Now, remember, that's the song you have sung in the beginning this morning. That's the song. Now, if you turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times she treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan.
Mas no habrá ya más oscuridad para los que están ahora, para los que están ahora en angustia, tal como la aflicción que le vino del pasado a la tierra de Zabulón y a la tierra de Naftalí. Pues al fin llenará de gloria el camino del mar, de aquel lado del Jordán, en Galilea de los Gentiles.
Now this is wonderful prophecy.
Esto es una profecía maravillosa.
To prophesy one day,
está profetizando un día,
Messiah will come.
El Mesías vendrá.
The Savior of mankind will come.
El Salvador de la humanidad vendrá.
And more than that,
más que eso,
he will make Capernaum or Sea of Galilee in that area as the center of his work.
Él haría este lugar, el mar de Galilea, el centro de su trabajo.
So that's why it says the Galilee of the Gentiles. The other side of Jordan. And by the way of the sea.
You are not aware of
that. No, not here.
Huh?
The way of the sea.
Look,
verse 1. The way by the way of the sea. Look.
En Galilea de Gentiles, de aquel lado del Jordán.
And by the way of the sea. Via Mare. Via Mare. No.
Here's look.
By the way of the sea. No,
Via Mare. Es que viene a visitar. Pues así llenará de gloria el camino del mar.
So even today,
así que incluso
for many centuries,
por muchos siglos,
now we know there is a highway called King's Highway.
Sabemos que hay una carretera llamada la carretera del rey.
Some highway from Damascus all the way to Egypt.
Una carretera que comienza desde Damascus y termina en Egipto.
Now that way is called the Way of the Sea.
Entonces, este camino es llamado el camino del mar.
No, thank you.
Camino del mar.
Right. You see, that way is the way from Damascus all the way to Egypt, to Cairo. And so that area of Galilee. And the Bible says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light.
El pueblo que andaba en tinieblas ha visto una gran luz.
Those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them.
A los que moraban en tierra de sombra de muerte, les ha comenzado a brillar la luz.
Now, why Bible says those who live in the dark land? Why Bible says in the dark land? Dark land.
Ah, mi Biblia dice aquellos que viven en la tierra de oscuridad.
Yeah.
Dark land. Tierra de oscuridad.
That's where sombra. Yeah. Okay. So that's why you have the dark land there. Now why the dark land? Because that was the area of volcanoes. That reminds you of Santiago. You see, because of that volcano. So once upon a time, now the volcano erupts. And then you have earthquake. And then out of that volcano, and you discover some kind of rock which is in dark color. And being thrown out. And for that reason, in that area, all the soil are in dark color. Because it is dark color, that's why it's very easy to absorb the solar light. And because of that, then the wheat will grow very fast. The wheat.
El trigo crece muy rápidamente.
Because they receive much energy from the sun.
Porque reciben mucha energía desde el sol.
So in the land of Canaan,
así que en la tierra de Canaán,
only this part of the world,
solamente esta parte del mundo,
because of volcanoes,
debido al volcán,
because of dark soil,
debido a la tierra oscura,
that's why the first fruit of the wheat always come from that area.
Por eso es que siempre la primera fruta del trigo viene de esta área.
So when the priests offer their first fruit in the temple,
por eso cuando los sacerdotes ofrecían sus primicias en el templo,
now they are very clear.
Ellos tienen muy claro.
All these first fruits from the Sea of Galilee. Why? Because they live in the dark land. And not only the soil is dark. Even the rock is dark. So they build their house with dark rock. So you look from a distance, you will find many houses. They're all constructed by this dark rock. So, if you visit that area, when our Lord was in Capernaum. When our Lord in the area of Sea of Galilee. If you look from a distance, it's a dark land. Not only soil is dark. But even the houses are dark. So for that reason, now you understand. That's why then the people walk in darkness will see the light. Those who live in dark lands,
The light will shine on them. Now this prophecy has been fulfilled by our Lord was on earth. The Word became flesh. And then He walked among the people. For 1 year and a half, He walked in the midst. He walked in that part of the land. So, brothers and sisters, remember, this is the background of the district of Caesarea Philippi. When you come to that area, you come to the zone of volcano, which told you a tragedy happened many, many years ago. Many lives have been destroyed. And many destructions have been made. However, and good soil has been left behind. Good soil. Because this dark soil are best soil. That's how you have the first fruits. So we know that the best soil in the land of Canaan is the part near Caesarea Philippi. More than that, Caesarea Philippi. There you will find the riverhead of Jordan River. The riverhead, the source of the Jordan
River.
Now everybody knows Jordan River very well. Everybody knows the Jordan River very well. You know how that river, how that Jordan River flow flow from the north to the south. Now on their eastern border. And then you know this Jordan River was flowing from the riverhead to the Sea of Galilee, and then continue to flow Jordan River. Finally, it will flow into Dead Sea. So when you come to Dead Sea, when you're near Jericho, so you are at the lower stream of the Jordan River. Now, because Jordan River is a curved river, and because of that curve, so when water flows from the riverhead to Dead Sea, the river was carrying mud with the water. Yeah. So when you come to the lower stream, and what you have encountered is nothing but mud. So when you almost near the Dead Sea, then when you look at the river of Jordan, it's no longer clear anymore. It becomes confused. Very muddy. I still remember my first time I visited Jericho. Now we first landed in Amman, Jordan. Amman, Jordan, the capital of Jordan. Amman, Jordan. And then from there, we will cross the Jordan River, entering into the land of Canaan. So just like people of Israel of old.
Now, I still remember when we first crossed that Jordan River. Now, before we do that, we did it with expectation. Because in my mind, the Jordan River is just like Amazonas River. Now you have seen Amazonas River. It's wide and also very powerful. Especially when you study your Bible. Now that should be a great Jordan River. But to my surprise, when the tour guide saying that now we are coming to the Jordan River, we have got Jordan River. But to our surprise, it is very, very narrow.
It's narrow.
Now you have a river in the city, in the center. No, you have a river in the city. But now today's Jordan River probably is only one third of the width of your river here. So you can imagine how disappointed you will be. All the way from Santiago and visit Jordan River. You will be very surprised. Of course, the reason is very simple. In the Bible time, indeed, it was a wonderful river. Now, because the people of Israel rebel against God. So they were under the judgment. So the land had become desolate. So this proved that somehow the history of Israel is connected with that piece of land. So no wonder today you will be disappointed with the Jordan River. But if you go to the riverhead, if you go to the district of Caesarea Philippi, you will see very different. Because that was the beginning of the river. It is upstream. Because this river did not travel very long. So the river did not carry the mud with them. So you can see clearly even to the bottom of the river bed. Even today. And you will find a fish really swim in that river. So whenever you come to the riverhead, now your vision will become very clear. Do you see that? Because it's so pure. Now that's very important. But if you follow the Jordan River today, now when you come to the lower street, where you almost reach the Dead Sea, where you don't find any life at all. Now at that contacting point, when you almost touch death, you discover everything become muddy. You don't see anything at all. Now brothers and sisters, isn't that true with the church history? Now in the days of Pentecost, the word of God was so pure and so clear. But now when we come to the 20th century, now this Jordan River has flowed for more than almost 2,000 years. Now when you come to the lower sea, everything becomes not clear at all. Do you understand? Now you understand why our Lord was taking the disciples to the upper stream. Because our Lord is about to reveal Himself. Something very important. Something in the heart of Christ. And also in the heart of His of Heavenly Father. So then our Lord is going to reveal to them. Now brothers, only in the riverhead you will have a very clear vision. Everything is not blurred. You see, then you will see very clearly. But if you really follow the street, if you follow the world, even Christian world, now the result is one day, even it is very clear in the Bible. But then, when you come to the lower stream, everything becomes very not clear at all. Now, if you read the whole chapter, and our Lord is about to reveal Himself, our Lord is about to reveal Himself. Now, it is very clear what the Lord tried to reveal. Are the four major truths in the Bible. If you open your Bible, you discover what the Bible reveals is surrounding on these four major truths. This is fundamentals of Christian life. This is fundamental of church life. Without that revelation, then we are just being scattered. So why today you see the ruin of the gospel testimony? Because when we lose our vision, then we are scattered. Only the vision will gather us together. So now you understand why our Lord has to take these disciples to the district of Caesarea Philippi. Now, if you read the whole chapter, actually our Lord is about to review four aspects. Four major truths. Or four major revelations. And what are those? Now let me try to summarize it. First, Christ. Church.
La Iglesia.
Cross.
La Cruz.
And Kingdom. So if you read this chapter, you discover actually this something always in the heart of our Lord. And He was occupied with Christ, Church, Cross, and Kingdom. And if you study the whole Bible, now Holy Spirit always tries to point us to these four major truths. So you see, brothers and sisters, but think about today. Do you know anything about Christ? Yes, you know Christ as your Savior. But do you know that Christ is the Master, is your Master? Do you know that Christ is the Church, is the head of the Church? He is the head of the body. So, brothers and sisters, now even today, now many Christians know something about Christ. Have they seen Christ? Had they seen Christ in their spirit? So brothers and sisters, now today, yes, people know something about Christ. But the vision becomes very blurred. It's not clear. But more than that, how about church? How about church? How about the church? Now, how much do we know about the church? Oh, many people think the church is a building.
That's why they say, I have left my umbrella in the church. Now, if the church is the body of Christ, how you are able to leave your book or umbrella in the church? Now you understand. Today we are in the lower stream part. And for 20 centuries, and many human hands being put into the Word of God. So the river is carrying with the mud. No wonder today, if you follow the crowd, if you follow the multitudes, then we don't know anything about the church. But how about the cross? Many people know cross because they carry a wooden cross with them as adornment. My brothers and sisters, now you know that the way of cross is the way to harvest. Now the path of the cross always leads us to glory. How can we be transformed into the image of Christ? How can we dwell together in unity? The secret is the cross. How much we know about the path of the cross? Are we ready to take up our cross and follow our Master? Are you ready to deny yourself all the time? So you see, brothers, today, when you talk about the cross, again, it's very vague. We touch something, but we are never clear. The same thing about the kingdom. How much about the kingdom we know today? So you see, brothers and sisters, when we come to the 20th century, 21st century, we are approaching the lower stream of the Jordan River. Now, how can we be clear about the will of God? Thank our Lord. For that reason, he took his disciples to the district of Caesarea Philippi. Now, when the disciples are in the when they were in the riverhead, they look at the street. Now you see, it's so crystal clear. So, brothers and sisters, the way for us to go on today is always go back to the Bible. It's always go back to the beginning. It is always go back to the riverside, to the riverhead. It is always go back to the Caesarea district of Caesarea Philippi. Only there you will receive a revelation from God, from the Lord. So I think this is very, very important. One day, some people ask our Lord, now why Moses allowed people to have the document of divorce? You know what was our Lord's answer? This is only the permissive will of God. This is not eternal will of God. Now, what is eternal will of God? What is eternal will of God? So the Lord said, it was not so in the beginning. Because your heart is hardened. Because your heart is hardened. Now, that's why God permits you. God allowed you. This is permissive will of God. If you are obedient children of God, you are not just satisfied with the permissive will of God. You are to look for the eternal will of God. What is His will? His will from the very beginning. So you see, brothers, that's the reason why our Lord took His disciple to the district of Caesarea Philippi. So this is very, very important. Now let's go back to the Matthew 16 for just once again. Now if you turn to chapter 16, and first, our Lord asked the disciples, and our Lord said, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And then Peter answered. Now Peter really the representative of the whole church. He made a great confession. That's the greatest confession in the history of mankind. This is not only Peter's confession. This is also your confession and my confession. So Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what our Lord answers? He said, blessed are you, Simon by Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. But my Father who is in heaven. Now you see, brothers, how Peter got to know that Jesus is Christ. It was not given by the flesh and the blood. Now according to our Lord, it is the Heavenly Father who revealed Christ to Peter. What does that mean? In the heart of God, there was a secret. That secret has been hidden from the foundation of the world. It is unknown to the world. And our God has kept that secret for ages. But one day, think about it. What privilege Peter had. It pleased the Father. It pleased the Father that He will reveal Christ to Peter. Now because of that revelation, now brothers and sisters, we have the first revelation. Christ. Now Christ is something connected with the heart of God. Something connected with the heart of God. Heart. No wonder Paul said, Christ is the mystery of God. Do you see that? God has a secret. God has a mystery. Now one day he wants to open the veil. No more secret. Now thank God. Now that revelation has been revealed to Peter. And also revealed to all of us today. So you see, that's why our Lord said, blessed are you. Now you see, that's a wonderful blessing. Now, blessing is not just for you to have a car, a beautiful house. Now here we are told, if you are being given the revelation, so you are blessed. So our Lord said to Peter, it is my Father who is in heaven revealed this secret to you. Do you see that? That's the beginning of revelation. Remember, If you really see something from the Bible, if you really receive some revelation, the first one, somehow you are able to touch the heart of God. Now God opens his heart to you. And then you see the secret in the heart of God. That is called mystery of God. Now what is mystery of God? Christ is a mystery of God. Do you see that? But this is only the beginning. Now what our Lord said, verse 18, and I also say to you, now my Father has spoken to you. He revealed his Son to you. And so he has said to you, that's wonderful revelation. But that's not enough. That's only the part of our Father. But he said, I also say to you. I also say to you. Not only God has a secret. I also have a secret. It takes God to reveal his secret to you. It takes God to reveal that secret to you. Now it is me who will reveal my secret to you. Do you see that? On one hand, you need the revelation from the Father. But according to our Lord, we also need the revelation from our Lord. So that's why the Lord says, I also say to you. Now listen. You have listened to the Father. Then you have the secret of the Father. You have the mystery of the Father. But this only happens in the story. Now, brothers and sisters, this universe has a secret. If you see Christ, you only get half of your secret. But thank God. And our Lord about to reveal some other half. He said, I also say to you, so brothers and sisters, do you see that? Now if you read the following, what our Lord said, I will build my church upon this rock. Now my brothers and sisters, do you see that? Now, the secret of God is Christ. But the secret of Christ is the church. So that's why he said, I also will tell you, I will build my church upon this rock. Now, very interesting. When our Lord was saying this phrase, most likely he and his disciple was in some high area in that area. Now, in the mountain foot of the Mount Hermon, now even today, you will discover there was a great rock. Big one. So the city of Caesarea Philippi was built connecting to that rock. So the city wall is around that rock. So now you can imagine, this is Mount Hermon. This is the Mount Hermon. But then at the foot of the Mount Hermon, a huge rock. So that city actually is built surrounding that rock. So that city of Caesarea Philippi. Now do you understand? When our Lord said to Peter, I will build my church upon this rock. Now of course this rock referred to himself. Refer to Christ, no doubt about that. But now our Lord used a picture to show to the disciples. Because now in their eyes, a rock at the foot of Mount Hermon.
Do you see
that picture there? And then he said, I will build my church upon this rock. So, on one hand, and our Lord tried to reveal his secrets. Now, Christ is a mystery of God. Now, the church is a mystery of Christ. But then how you are going to how God of Christ filled his church? Now that's the reason. In the following, our Lord revealed to the disciples the cross. Now he is going to Jerusalem. He will die on the cross. And then he will be risen. Then he will be risen. So you see, now, first Christ, then the church. Now, let us be careful. If you only see the vision, you may become very theoretical. Everything becomes very abstract. Do you see? As if you see some fruit which are in the sky. Very wonderful. But you never reach there. But thank God. When Christ revealed, when Bible revealed Christ and his church, he also showed us the way. How can you reach there? So then you discover the way Christ built his church. It is through the way of the cross. That's why he said, this rock. What does that mean, brothers? Now, all the disciples are very clear. You look at upstream, or you look at upstream or Jordan River. You discover water come out. How water really came out? It's almost impossible. Because the snow in the Mount Hermon, after being melted, flow all the way to the mountain foot. But then you discover that that rock becomes the hindrance. The water can never come out through the rock. Right. So you have the water, Now the deers, they look at the water. They say, oh, how we long to have water. But that rock, because of that rock, the water cannot come out from the rock. Do you understand? But now, how come now the disciples, they see the upstream? Because many, many years ago, and through the work of God, he shaped this world. So then you discover volcano erupts. And because of that earthquake, that rock of ages, for many years. Now, according to geologists, the rock at the foot of Mount Hermon is the most ancient rock in the land of Canaan. So that represents the rock of ages. Eternal rock. So you see that now that rock, now one day, because of earthquake, that violent earthquake, then that rock collapsed for us. So then that water really come penetrate through the rock. Now here comes the Jordan River. Here comes the riverhead of Jordan River. Now the thirst of deeds may be quenched. My brother and sister, remember, this is the story of the cross. You remember how our Lord said, my God, why you have forsaken me? Because our Lord Jesus took your position and our position. All our sins were upon him. Do you know the color of the sea? Do you know how dark is that sea? When the Heavenly Father, when the Holy Father, when he saw his Son on the cross, taking your sin and my sin upon himself. According to the Bible, now you see the rod of wrath, the rod of wrath,
the rod,
that fall upon our Lord Jesus. Do you see that, brothers and sisters? That rod ought to be upon you and me. We are sinners, not Jesus Christ, but because he loved you and he loved me. And because our sins all be upon our Lord Jesus. And God is God of justice. God is God of righteousness. So because of that, the rod of wrath was upon our Lord. And Christ as the rock of the ages. At that moment, and you discover the rock has been cracked. So, from the side of our Lord Jesus came out the blood and the water. Now, brothers and sisters, just like Adam, when he fall into sleep, then God takes something out of the side of Adam. And then Eve was rebuilt. The same story. When our Lord Jesus died for us on the cross, then out of his side, now brothers and sisters, now the church was being built. So that's why, my brothers, now yes, if you really see the church, you can never separate Christ and the cross. You know what Peter wants? Peter said to the Lord, now don't do it. You see that? What Peter wants? He wants Christ without cross. He confessed Jesus as Christ. His mentality is Jewish mentality. Now Christ will be in glory. Christ will never go to the cross. Now that's Peter's understanding. He wants Christ without cross. That's impossible. When our Lord said, I will build my church upon this rock. Now you understand. Now the Christ always with cross. Only through the cross, then the church is born. Then the church is built. So, brothers and sisters, now you understand. Not only Christ, also the church, also the cross. For that reason, you cannot just preach Christ. You cannot just talk about the Church of Christ. Remember how God is going to fulfill his purpose. Now the secret, the way, is the cross. No cross, no crown. No cross, no harvest. No cross, no building of the church. Today you may have a congregation of 10,000 people, but the reality of the church is not there. What is the church? The church of Christ. Not only Christ in you, not plus Christ in me, and plus Christ in him. Now, not only this, then you discover it is the working of the cross. So you see, not only the Christ in you plus Christ in me and the cross Christ in him, then the cross will take away you and me and him. Now that's Christ. Some people, they only know additions. They never know subtractions. So that's what cross is doing today. So brothers and sisters, if we are very zealous for the Lord, now is this the church? If the church will be built this way? No, brothers and sisters, you see that? Now you discover the working of the cross will work deeply in every one of us. Then finally, you discover church is being built. Now, brothers, because of working of the cross, you are no longer in the throne. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we have a tendency. When church gather together, instead of let Christ be on the throne, we may be in the throne. Do you see that? Now the working of the cross is always dethrone us. Always take us away from the throne. For one purpose, that Christ may be in his throne. When you see the Christ being in his throne, that's the kingdom of heaven mentioned in the Bible. So, brothers and sisters, today if we really live a church life according to God's purpose, then you discover every one of us, including the workers, including the leaders, they ought to be dethroned. There is only Christ, and Christ only, who is on the throne. Then what do you see? You see the kingdom of heaven. So, brothers and sisters, now you see the connection of these four Christ. Christ, church, God, and the kingdom. So, brothers and sisters, finally, God's purpose will be carried out. So, thank the Lord. Today, we need to be led to the riverhead of His revelation. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the riverhead. Then you will discover every revelation so clear to us. Not only Christ, the church, God, and the kingdom. Now, brothers and sisters, isn't this the will of God? So may the Lord really speak to our hearts. Now, this is what I want to share with you this morning. I'm very sorry. I have taken so much time. I thank you for your patience. Let's have a short prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful occasion. We may be with the saints in this city. We worship you together. We fellowship each other. By your mercy, we are led to the riverhead of revelation. May we not only see Christ, but also the church, also the cross, also the kingdom. Your revelation is full. Your revelation is complete. May this revelation govern our life, govern our whole life, not only our individual life, but also corporate life. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time together. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray.
Pasen para cantar una alabanza, y mientras cantamos una alabanza, vamos a adorar al Señor una ofrenda. Así que mientras adoramos al Señor cantando, vamos a poner esta mesa aquí al frente y vamos a recoger esta mañana una ofrenda. ¿Me pueden ayudar con la mesa para ponerla, ubicarla más? Yo al Señor